welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all those things we didn't get to during the course of the show today, and I really appreciate Betty Rock coming in today. I thought it might be a little dicey whether she would make it or not. She is in full-on mule day mode still.
Boy, did I have a time. I had a time.
I follow your socials, and it looked like you had a time.
Woo, it was so much fun. It's the hard part is that I feel I've been going now for 10 years. I don't know. But
I went 1 year, and I never went back.
What?
I did. I did not enjoy it.
Oh, I love it.
And I love the kitschiness of it, but I did not. For me to be around that many people and stuff anymore, it's got to be something I love.
Well, and you're like many other men that I know. Like, you don't have any patience, and so
no.
It just drives you crazy to be in big crowds. I went with two friends of mine, Dina and Mickey. It was so much fun, but I will say it feels like every year we go, the crazier it gets.
Sure.
More and more people are coming. But anyways, we got there. We saw the parade. My favorite float was the Roto-Rooter. Okay. Because what they did was they have the septic tank system truck that comes out, you know, and gets out your septic stuff, your
yeah,
waste.
We know what septic is.
Anyway, a guy was straddling the truck and had like a
reins.
Yeah, and
I was there.
It was so much.
I'm filling in all the creative gaps.
And then behind them, trailing them, was a guy on a lawnmower, and he had put a gutted out porta potty on top of him, and they cut out a hole so he could at least see where he was going. But that was my favorite float. And I will say my second favorite was the Chick-fil-A truck. They were out there with the cows doing the Lord's work. It was fantastic. I got some cotton candy. I got a foot-long corn dog. I got a very large sweet tea. I also got ribbon fries. I didn't get a chance to get funnel cake, but I was fit to be tied. We saw the blue ribbon ceremony where they were giving ribbons to like the Jacks and the Jennies. So Jacks are the mules that are male, and then the Jennies are the female mules. Anyways, they were giving like first prize, second prize.
Do they still have Miss Mule Day?
Yeah, yeah. And Mickey, the friend that I was with, she was actually part of the royal court or whatever back in the 80s.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's so funny.
I was like, I am with
you
Mule Day
royalty. Royalty, yes, exactly.
It's a big deal. But it was so much fun. I got my T-shirt, the 50th anniversary T-shirt.
I'm sad they didn't have a hat for you because you always get a Mule Day hat.
Yeah, but I mean, there's only so many hats you should have. I've got way too many.
Yeah,
so,
you only had so much money. Because
I know,
that
I took,
was expensive.
I took $200 cash with me.
How much did you come home with?
You know, I actually didn't spend that much.
Oh, really?
Which I was surprised by.
Yeah. You probably spent more. Which was more expensive, your T-shirt or your hot dog meal?
Hot dog meal.
That's just so wrong. They just take advantage of you at events. Those and food trucks. Food trucks are the worst.
But I will say this. There have been times in my life where the Lord smacks me in the face with a 2x4 and shows me what a wonderful country we live in. He reminds me. And I had one of those moments at Mule Day.
Of course you did.
God met me at Mule Day. And I was standing in line to get my foot-long corn dog, my sweet tea, and my ribbon fries. And I'm going to pay the guy an ungodly amount of money. And everybody stops what they're doing because before they started the ribbon ceremony for the mules, they had an old guy come up and sing the national anthem.
There you go.
And everybody stopped, took off their hats, and put their hands over their heart to sing the national anthem.
That's one thing I love about the South, especially, is there still is respect for this country. You know, you do that stuff in California, and it's just whatever. You know, you're just happy they're singing it in English half the time. But it's like they don't. There's just not a respect for it. You know, people take their hat off. People go to church, you know, and they'll take their hat off, you know, when they go into church a lot of times, you know, and it's just, there's a respect for God and country in the South that doesn't seem to exist in other places.
Yeah.
And like, and I get people trying to make statements out of, you know, kneeling during the national anthem or not being present or what have you.
Do you really get it?
I get where they're coming from. I disagree with it vehemently. Mm. But I understand why they do it, but that doesn't mean I think it's right.
Mm-hmm.
I think that yes, you have problems with this country. I get it, but I don't think that's the way to address that problem because you're basically then just kind of tinkling all over in blanket form the country, you know.
Yeah, and the country that's giving you an unprecedented amount of money.
Oh yeah,
for
yeah.
you to live in yeah. your castle.
Yeah. So, well, there you go. I'm glad you had a great time.
I did.
And so,
boy, did we have a time.
Some of the pictures you saw, like that is Mule Day, is one where you could play the mullet game, where like where you try to get pictures of mullets in the wild, and your phone, you'd probably run out of space.
I am not kidding when I say, put my hand on a Bible. There was a man sitting across from us as the parade was going. He's wearing these huge neon glasses.
Like Oakley glasses.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's got a mullet, okay?
Yeah, he does.
And he's there with his wife, girlfriend, baby mama, I'm not sure. But
that was a little judgy.
In the bed of his truck, he reaches down and grabs his baby.
His youngin.
And that baby had a mullet,
yeah,
too.
Of course. Baby's first mullet, of course.
Only at Mule Day.
Oh, so good.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so here's a couple things going on. June 7th is going to be a very dark day in America. It is when Pat Sajak steps down and Ryan Seacrest replaces him as host of Wheel of Fortune. Remember they decided that a long time ago that Ryan Seacrest was going to replace him?
Wait, who was the guy that died?
That was Alex Trebek from Jeopardy.
Oh, that's a different guy.
It's funny you mentioned that, though. I would have been mad if they had given Ryan Jeopardy, but Wheel of Fortune suits both his level of intelligence and cheesiness. Like, it's perfect for him.
I'm kind of surprised he's taking it, because it only connects with an older generation, and he seems to want to stay in the younger, I would think.
He's playing the long game, because he could do that game for, he could do that job for 20 years.
That's true.
And it's very low impact.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you literally just have to interview people a couple times, make some, like, you know, ask them, you have it all on cards. So you're an elementary teacher that likes fluffernutters? Okay, great. You know, it's nothing. It's an easy job that I would kill to have. again, every bit of my stuff with Ryan Seacrest is completely based in jealousy. So that is happening. Did you see the story? I'm curious if there's going to be a lot of backlash on this mom. This mom did the weight loss shots, you know, because she was trying to lose like 150 pounds because she had gotten like extremely overweight. And so then she was like, well, my daughter also is overweight at 15. And she got her doctor's approval for her daughter to actually use the shot as well. And her daughter ended up losing like 55 pounds.
Whoa, so at 15?
Yeah, at 15. She's down to 143. So she was at 198. And her mom said she's done basketball, done volleyball, done marching band, done cheer. And the weight just wasn't coming off. You know, she tried to eat healthy, go to the gym. But when we, and now, well, now she's eating healthy, going to the gym and adding this in, it's helping, it's working for her. And when you see the pictures of her, of the daughter, it's a big transformation. And going through school like that would be brutal. Kids can be so brutal to each other. But it's weird. It's such the wrong message. It's like every rom-com or everything where the girl's got the glasses on and she looks frumpy and then all of a sudden she takes them off and she's a model, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you feel bad that, like, this girl, the worth of this is, you know, you did all these things before, you're involved, but then you didn't get noticed until you lost the weight and you became something that was different and you looked different.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, full disclosure, she looked better, you know, but it's like that message being sent of, yeah, it just furthers that problem of if you look better, you're going to be treated differently, you know. But as a mom, you want your kids to be healthy and you want them to be happy, and it's working. She is like, I have no regrets. I'm happy. But she still had to do it under
the
a doctor.
The mom has no regrets?
Yeah, that she and her daughter both did it.
Oh.
And that she's like, I just wanted to look out for my daughter, and I think it was the right thing to do for her and for myself. And, you know, what other parents do, that's up to them. But I could see this being a sticky thing. Like, it's already a little bit on the fence for some people, but then you add kids into it and it gets even
well,
dicier.
Especially if they've tried eating right, they've tried exercising, and it still isn't helping. That is difficult because you don't know, you know, girls go through a lot of body image issues.
Yeah.
So do boys, but it seems to be girls more.
I think it's worse.
That's because there is a higher standard that's put on them. And so if you see your daughter coming home every day and people are bullying her and she's crying, like, you as a parent would want to do whatever it takes to
absolutely
make her happy.
Absolutely. And if I had tried everything else with my daughter, like, hey, let's go, I'll go run with you, you know, and and to try and keep her in a healthier state or even just a healthier mental state. Because like it or not, honestly, I mean, this probably won't be very popular with some people. But the reality is there are standards that we set up as to what beauty is, you know, and if you fall outside of those lines, you have to be okay with that. You know, and if you're not okay with that, doing things to put yourself into that place is not the worst thing as long as that's not what is truly the only thing that validates you. Like, I don't think it's wrong to lose weight and try to look better, you know, and for yourself. Now, it's wrong when you're trying to do it for other people and, you know, or you're trying to avoid being bullied. Then it slides into the eating disorders and it slides into some weird areas for people mentally. But if you say, I don't look good, I don't like the way I look, I want to change it, I have no problem with that. Like, go for it, you know? And or if you're even saying this is what people think is beautiful, you know, because we as a society kind of set that up. And it's different in different cultures, too, which I find fascinating. But it's what we all do. Why do we go and shop and buy nice clothes? We don't need nice clothes. We do it because we're trying to put forth an image or we're trying to fit into something or we think it makes us look better, you know. And it's the same thing with makeup. We don't need makeup, but we do it because that becomes the societal norm. Yeah, and if it makes you feel more confident. Because, like, for example, Betty Rock, you did your makeup today, but we're trying to get out of here right after Aftercast because we have to do some work from home. And like, you wouldn't need to do it because you're gonna head right home after this.
I thought about that midway through.
Did you? I got one eye done. It's too late now.
Yep. It's like, why am I wasting it? Dang it.
Why did I waste this on Wally?
Exactly.
Lady Rock, what do you got?
I have some sad news.
No.
The lead singer of Firehouse has passed on.
That is sad for me personally.
If you don't know who Firehouse is, here's a little taste. And by the way, this song was played on a cassette tape?
No, better than that.
An 8-track?
Better than that.
A vinyl record?
Better.
CD?
Better.
I have no idea.
Live performance from a wedding singer during the ceremony at my wedding. Yeah, so good. Yeah, this was my wife and my song while we were dating. So and I remember I had a guy named Richard Wassum. I'll never forget this guy. He went to our church. And we had two songs sang. He sang that one live in the middle of the ceremony.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, not at the after party. This was part of the ceremony.
You thought it was so good that it didn't need to be at the reception. It needed to be in the actual ceremony.
That and Friends are not in Friends of Prince River. If tomorrow morning you, I will be here by Stephen Curtis Chapman. I did years later get to have a fun moment when we came in here and I brought my wife in and Stephen Curtis Chapman actually sang that song live.
Yeah, and you wore the 80s wig.
And, And I remember my wife was not happy about that because she thought I was making fun of it. And I'm like, I'm not making fun of it. It's just kind of, I'm trying to recapture. I had long hair back then and I wore a tux, so I had like a tux t-shirt. But it didn't have the, no, here. I had a regular tuxedo there.
Oh. It's like, you had a tux t-shirt at your own wedding?
Oh my gosh. So white trash, man.
Wow.
Sorry if you wore one, but I'm trying to get my suit all together for officiating my friend's daughter's wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And so I bought a suit that does, I re-looked at it. It looks a lot like Joel's suit from For King and Country. When you see the video this week, they're very similar suits. What's that face?
We
wear them differently.
Well, as long as you realize.
Oh, 100% I realize it.
Okay.
100%. I know I'm not Joel.
Now, let me ask you this. You know, there's going to be, and it's probably already happened, that kids from this generation, they're getting married, and they're like, I want Justin Bieber's baby in my wedding.
Right.
I'm sure looking back, they're going to regret that.
Maybe.
You don't regret playing Love of a Lifetime
by
Firehouse?
Absolutely not. Yeah, that was like our song. That was great.
Did the parents understand?
I don't know. My parents and my wife's parents were really great about like, hey, it's your wedding. Do whatever you want to do. Like, it was great. Yeah, it's weird. Like, you don't see a lot of special music. Okay, you've been to how many? What, 13 weddings? Something like that. It was some crazy
like
number.
That.
Did any of those weddings ever have a live vocal performance in them?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, so you do the candle lighting thing, and then, like, somebody sings or whatever. Yeah,
and they did the
I'll be here for you, yeah. Or
no, Steve Christian.
I will be there.
Yeah.
I don't know that it happens as much anymore. I haven't been to a wedding in a while that had a singer in it. Oh, remember our friend Joy? She had Chad from Unspoken sang at her wedding.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember that?
Oh,
I don't know how she pulled that off.
Yeah, and there was a friend's wedding that we went to together, and she had someone sing live at her wedding, and it was a Christian artist, and I don't remember now who it was. But
yeah.
So the most recent one, they did do a live performance, but it wasn't an 80s rock band.
Well, that
it
was just their mistake.
They it was have. Just an artist and a piano.
Yeah. I like it. Like.
But was when the wedding singer sang that song,
yeah.
Was it to a karaoke?
Yes, track. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. So good. I had it on a cassette. So. Cue the cassette. Click. Roll, 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 roll.
It's so, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
So bad.
Yeah, loved it.
Anyways, it's just sad. CJ Snare, that's the guy that we were hearing from Firehouse.
Yeah.
He died on Friday. He was 64.
Oh, that's so young.
With a long battle of cancer.
Oh, that's even sadder. Don't treat me bad.
Yeah.
No, 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 no.
I don't know what you're referring to.
That's another song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Firehouse.
Mm. I wonder if there surely has to be another couple that had that song.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Wedding.
I'm sure there is. It was a big song, and it's a big ballad for that time. So yeah, it's funny because I'm supposed to officiate this wedding, and I was talking to my friend who is the mom, and she's like, "Yeah, we don't want it like super short either." And I'm like, "Okay, what are we thinking?" Because there's not a lot when you get down to it. A wedding is not very long. Shouldn't be. Because you get there, you greet everybody, mm-hmm. you say some words, give some, like, here's my outline so far. Get there, do some stand-up.
No.
Get there, greet everybody, thank them for coming. And then I want to do this thing. I'm gonna talk about great rom-coms, you know, kind of thing. And then I'm going to segue into their story of how they met, how the couple met. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell that story with the backdrop being of like a great rom-com and kind of make fun of him a little bit. And
they're going to turn it into a Wally show.
Yeah, I really am. And then I'm going to do a segment of advice. I've asked each parent to give us advice for them. And then I'm going to give them some advice. And it's funny because the daughter had given me these vows that they wanted to do, and they're unconventional vows. And it was like, then there's a lot of religious stuff at the end. And she's like, I love the vows, just not all the religious stuff at the end.
Oh.
And so I'm like, okay, that's fine. It's your thing. You do what you want to do. But then I was talking to her mom when we were on vacation, and I was explaining, I'm like, we were talking about marriage, and I'm like, yeah, it's really serious. I mean, there's a reason that they call it a covenant, not a contract in the Bible, you know, and I started explaining that to her. And, because a contract is basically, you do this, I'll do this. If somebody breaks that, then we're done. Mm-hmm. A covenant is, I'm going to love you regardless of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, that's the approach we need to have with marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh my gosh, I've never heard that. You should do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, Lily didn't want all the serious religious stuff at the end. She's like, oh, I think you should do this. I'm like, great. So I'll give my advice in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll do the vows they want to do, present the rings, and then I think we're done. I don't think they're doing like a unity candle, anything like that. So, I mean, I literally could be out of there in 20 minutes easy.
What are the chances, even though it's not your daughter getting married?
Sure.
What are the chances that you will cry?
Oh, I think there's moments where I might get choked up, but I think I'll be nervous though too, because I don't want to blow it. And then I've got, because I'm not going to memorize everything.
Mm.
And so when I'm on like working on like a piece of paper,
You're
start working. I know. And then I get kind of the bullet point in my head, and then I riff, and then I get lost, and I'm really, really like nervous about this. Like I'm going to have it on an iPad, and I could see it going so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll be more focused on that.
Mm.
But I could see getting a little choked up because I've known Lily since she was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be asked to do this, I think is kind of nice. Like they used to always, like if we were getting together for like, you know, different events and stuff here and there, like they'd ask me, because I was like the religious one, I guess they'd ask me to pray and
wow,
stuff.
That's sad.
Crazy, right? Me.
Yeah.
Wow. So anywho, do you have any birthdays today?
I do.
What do you got?
I've got one. This one is Rick.
Rick!
Rick is celebrating a birthday today. He said, I'm a 59-year-old metalhead.
Nice, Rick. He knows love of a lifetime.
I'm sure he does. He remembers the very first night of Total Access.
What? That's crazy.
And he said, I have way more in common with Wally than I care to admit.
I love it. He's a smart man. Great taste in music.
We have a question. Let's talk about this one. This one's a little serious.
Okay.
This one's from Kathleen. She said, can a Christian be kind-hearted to the point where it seems like they lack wisdom, and is that wrong in our spiritual walk?
Interesting. I guess she's talking about being so kind or forgiving.
That you're taking advantage of.
That you're taking advantage of, or you overlook problems. Like you go, I don't want to be judgy. Well, this guy just got out of prison for a pedophile charge, mm-hmm. and he does want to work at our church's daycare, but I don't want to judge. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you can actually be so kind that it's not smart. I think God gives us wisdom. We talk about this in the Monday school today, that at the end of all of the Beatitudes and all of the Sermon on the Mount, God talked about wisdom. Jesus talked about wisdom, you know, and when Solomon was asked, you know, what do you want? I'll give you anything you want. He asked for wisdom, mm-hmm. because wisdom is one of those things that will help make you make better decisions. Your life will work better. And I think that God calls us to be discerning, but we look at it like if we sit in judgment of anybody, then we're wrong, you mm-hmm. know, but I think God definitely calls us to be discerning. He even talks about it too in the Bible with, within the church, if somebody is not right, he talks about rebuking them and removing them, you know? And so like, well, you would have to have discernment and be a little judgy to do that.
Well, I think it's difficult because we're fallible human beings and it's hard for us to understand how we can show love without agreeing with another person's viewpoint.
Sure.
Like I think about the whole gay marriage situation and all that. There's a lot of people that know what Christians stand for. What wrong things they stand for.
Right.
But they don't know the good things that we stand for. And I think that that's sad. But I think it comes to Jesus was able to love on others, but not love the sin. He loved the person. But it's hard to know how to do that. So you see these churches, you see individuals accepting that person and accepting their sin. And it is difficult. I find it difficult myself because how are you supposed to show love to someone if they know that you don't agree with their lifestyle? And two, my heart goes out to people who are parents of children that find themselves wanting to be in a same-sex relationship. Like you love your child.
Right.
You
and that's not what you wish for them. Right.
But you don't want to lose that relationship. So how do you love them in spite of what they choose to do? And I don't have the answer.
See, I think it's more easy on a one-to-one basis than it is on a systematic basis. I think it's real easy to take someone who, say, we'll use your, you know, gay lifestyle mm-hmm. Scenario. I think it's real easy to be kind to that person, to love that person, to say, yeah, I don't necessarily agree with where you're at, whether it's a choice or your lifestyle, whatever. I don't agree with that. But I love you. You know, and I'm not going to ostracize you. I'm not going to wish anything against you. I'm your friend. You need me to help you to move? I'll help you move. Mm-hmm. I think it's real easy on that level. Where it gets hard is like at church. And church goes, we have boundaries and this is a sin and it's out for everyone to see. Well, there's a lot of people that have sin that you don't see at church.
Exactly.
And so for me, I do get it where, well, you can't have you in a position of leadership. And so I think... organizationally, it's really, really hard to navigate that stuff. But personally, I don't think it's that hard, you know?
Like one-on-one relationships. Yeah, I can
like,
see
like, for
that.
Me, if I had a like a relative that was gay and was getting married, even though I work in Christian radio, there's no way I wouldn't go. If I have a relationship with that person, I'm going to go. And it's not like, oh, you're supporting me. Yay! No, they would know where I stand. But it doesn't mean I have to hate them. It doesn't mean I don't have to want good for them. It means I can go and I can love you. And it's okay that we disagree. I think that this is part of the problem that's been brought up from like LGBTQ is that, well, you're a Christian, so you obviously don't agree with me and you obviously hate me and you're a bigot. It really jumps to that. But they're actually just as judgeful or more than the people they're claiming that judge them. Mm-hmm. Because, like, basically, oh, what was that one guy? He said, I wish I could remember what it was. It was so good. But basically, he's like, you're judging me by my faith and you're calling me a racist, you know, or a bigot just because I'm a Christian. Isn't that the same thing you hate that happens to you about the judgments about your lifestyle? You know, you're doing the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. I was watching this one guy, and there's a lot of language in it. This guy was just fed up. But his point was actually very solute, I think. He was like, look, you want to be gay? I don't care. I don't care one iota. He goes, I actually don't think most of the world cares. But you keep making it an issue. You keep putting it front and center in everybody's world. And not only do you say that this is who I am, but you say you have to accept everything about me and you have to believe this and you have to embrace it. And he's like, I don't have to embrace your delusion. I don't have to.
They don't want you to have an I don't care stance.
Right.
You need to care.
Exactly. So he said, if you did this, if you lived your life, stop bringing it up in front of everybody every minute you get, and you stay away from kids, you're not gonna have a problem with 90% of the country. And I think he's right. I think most people would be like, all right, that's fine, you do you. You know, but when you start making it an issue and everybody has to accept it, the funny thing is we have to accept the LGBTQ position, and you have to accept every bit of it. But they don't have to accept our position because our position is narrow-minded and bigoted, which is wrong. We have a different opinion of your lifestyle, and that's okay to have. It doesn't mean we hate you, but you've made it, we hate you. And that's not true. Mm-hmm. You know, you're judging me before I even know you, and before you even know me, you're judging me and saying I hate you. That's not true. It's not true at all.
I will say this, too, because Kathleen's question may not be towards, you know, an LGBTQ
sure.
thing.
We just went there because it's fun.
Well, I wouldn't even classify it as that. I will say that, you know, as Christians, it's easy for us to fall into that pit of people pleasing. And so we just say yes because we feel like that's what God wants us to do. He told us to love others as right. we would love ourselves. And so you're going to say yes to everything. And then you find yourself just torn apart. Like you're just no good for anyone because you're just too... You've spread yourself too thin. I have fallen into that pit before. I'm sure I'll find myself there again. But I would suggest there's a book that I'm reading. It is fantastic. I would say don't walk to get it, but run to get it. It's called Boundaries, and it's by Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. But it is all about how we can create boundaries that protect us and also the people that we love. There's a deep message inside of that book that says boundaries aren't meant to shut down a relationship. They're there to create a healthy relationship. And if a relationship dwindles because of boundaries that you've set up, then that wasn't a relationship that you needed in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so it's really helped me to not feel guilty for saying no to things.
Well, if you think about it, like if there's gray area on something, I tend to look at what did Jesus do? You know, because we're supposed to emulate him. What did Jesus do? So you could make the case, well, you know, supposed to love others as ourselves, which I have to give selflessly of myself to everyone that asks. How many people did Jesus not heal? Yeah. He's in crowds. And people, he'll heal one or two, you know, or whatever, you know, and the lady that touches his hem is healed, you know. And there's those stories of where he healed him. How many people did he not heal? As he walked right by him. I was watching this pastor on TikTok the other day, and he made a really good point because there's a story about the guy who I think Peter, it's the rise up and walk story, the beggar. And the story says he went to the same pool every day for X amount of years. And so I guess I think it's the one where like, Peter heals him or something. But the point that the pastor was making was if this guy went to that same pool every day, Jesus passed this same guy multiple times and never healed him, you know, and he was healed later on. But how many times did he pass by him and didn't heal him? And so Jesus didn't help everybody that asked for help or that needed help, you know. Mm-hmm. And so if he was selective, it stands to reason that we could be selective too without being punished.
Right. And another thing that hit me, after going to church and all that stuff. And anyways, something that hit me was, I think a lot of us battle, like, we have to have our act together before we come to Jesus and find redemption, find forgiveness, mercy, grace, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, they say in the Bible, it says God can't be around imperfection. He has to be around perfection. Well, there's no way that we're going to get that. If we could, there'd be no need for Jesus to come down to this earth and pay the price so that we could be with God. But Jesus decided to come down to earth where it is nasty, it is gross, it is broken. And these people did not have to, they didn't have their act together. They were able to approach Jesus and he approached them. But all that to say, I don't think we have to have our act together to approach Jesus, because when we come to Jesus, he's there to cover up what we can't do on our own so that we can be perfect for God. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's something that I've always known, but there was something about it that hit me where, taking it to where Jesus is here on earth, he actually chose to come down to a dirty, gross place and meet us in our dirty, gross place and befriend us, you know, and actually die for us. And we still didn't have our act together. So if you find yourself ever being like, you know, you feel like the voice inside your head is telling you, well, you can't do that because you ain't got your act together and you're never going to get it together. You know, yeah, that's true.
Right.
I'm
yeah,
never
going
to get my act together. Right. And God knew that. Well, Jesus knew that. So he came down to pay that so that we could still come to him.
There you go. Well, we got a little deep. We got in the deep end at the end of the show
today. I still want to say, though, that the Lord met me at Mule Day.
Absolutely, he did.
With my foot-long corn dog.
That's it. Well, that's going to do it for your Aftercast for today. And as always, thanks for being a potty.